Welcome to the Beverly Boulevard Four Square Church. It's Sunday, September 11th, 2022. Pastor Zoni is speaking. Today's message is entitled, Let Us Pray. Our scripture is from 1 Timothy chapter 2, 1 through 4. And now here's Pastor Zoni.
1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And it's a passage that we know well, but I think it bears to be repeat it and for us to think it through because it has to do with your life and my life and a certain obligation of the church, the church at large. It says, I urge, Paul says, I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone. Verse 2, for kings, and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. May God bless the reading of His Word. Lord, we pray that You will speak to our hearts and that we will be obedient to Your voice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Someone said that prayer, the purpose of prayer, is not for man's will to be done in heaven, but to get God's will to be done here on earth. And that's absolutely true. But prayer in this passage has a tremendous, huge, wide scope because it tells us that we are to pray that all people will be saved. It's amazing how Jesus' death on the cross took the sins of all mankind all at once, at one time. That everybody in this world is forgiven if they would only come to that knowledge. Jesus reconciled the whole world to God. So when people walk in the streets and they don't know God, God has forgiven them. They have yet to accept that forgiveness. For you must believe in order to be saved. It's amazing the work of Christ. And our prayer time is so important because it tells us that the gospel includes everybody for us to pray, high and low. The emperor with all his power and the slaves in their helplessness, we are to pray for them. We are to pray for the philosophers and we're to pray for the ignorant. We're to pray for everyone. No one is away from prayer, for the reach of prayer and the purpose of prayer. The monarch and the commoner, the rich and the poor, the employer, the employee, all of them are included in the grace of God that saves to the uttermost, and we're to pray for all people to come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Includes the good, includes the bad, includes everybody. It embraces Christians and non-Christians. It embraces everybody. Prayer is for everybody. And you and I as a church must include people in our prayers. In this passage, there are four different words for prayer. We can't really slice and dice them very thinly, but there are some peculiarities as to what Paul says. Requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving. So there are four different ways in which prayer is somewhat described. They serve the same purpose, to come into the presence of God. But it has a slightly variance that I think we may be able to understand and appreciate in our own ways of praying and seeking God. First of all, when it says requests, you don't make a request unless you have a need. You have identified a need. When you ask for somebody for something, you're asking something because you already know that you need it. You don't come into the presence of the Lord mumbling or not knowing what to say or what not to say. We need to have a request. And prayer begins then with this sense of need, a sense of need, a conviction that I cannot do it by myself. Some things we just can't do by ourselves. And so we request the Lord's intervention. Then the other word, of course, is prayer. And prayer is directly to God, 100% directly to God. And we say only God can satisfy this need. And there are three needs. First, there is strength that only God can give. And there are going to be moments in your life and in my life where we run out of strength. When we run out of strength. And we have no alternative but to come to Christ and say in prayer, Lord, give me the strength. There are some things that can debilitate us. There are some things that can take away our breath, our desire to live, our desire to move on. It is in those moments that we pray and we come to God and we ask for strength that only He alone can give. When I was young, So you're young, so don't worry about it. When you're young, you think you can just tackle the whole world, and you really can't in many ways. There come moments, even when you're young, when you know that you can't do certain things, and you must. That's when you pray and you ask the Lord to give you the strength that comes from Him and Him alone. Then there's another type of prayer that is so greatly needed, and it is forgiveness that only God can give. Now, there's no age limit here. But sometimes we do things that are wrong, and we do so willfully. We do it out of vengeance. We do it because we're fallen creatures, and something's wrong. Something is not working. Forgiveness is needed. And so that forgiveness can only come from God. It's amazing, isn't it, that forgiveness comes from God, but it's sometimes the hardest forgiveness to obtain is from ourselves. But we cannot forgive ourselves until God has forgiven us. Forgiveness means coming to Christ and saying, Lord, I have done this wrong, and I'm asking you to forgive me because with your help, I will not do it again. That's the prayer of repentance. Not the repentance of, I'm sorry you got caught, but the prayer of asking the Lord to forgive you and for you to have a willful heart not to do it again. So important for Christians to pray for their own personal lives and for forgiveness to be achieved. So prayer, when forgiveness is needed and only He can forgive that. Because though we may try to forgive one another, and we may forgive one another, there are some stuff, some things that only God can forgive because only God sees it. And you know it's there. And then you have to come to Him. And then, of course, we ask for the strength which He alone can give. We ask for forgiveness which He alone can grant. And then certainty that only He can bestow. By certainty, I mean that ability to know that you know that you know that you're right and that God moves with you. Purpose in life, the strength to move on, to keep going, the certainty of life. He bestows you. He gives you a mantle of strength and an ability to go on that only He can. And there are moments where we really need this in our lives. We really do the certainty, the knowledge that God is with me and I will prevail in His name. So we have, you know, prayer, and then we have petitions. And petition is nothing more than coming into the presence of the King with a request of sorts. We have the ability to enter into the presence of the Lord and submit a petition to Him on our behalf or on behalf of someone else. It is the right to come before the King. I like pomp and circumstance, and though I'm not English, my mother was English, and she always loved the Queen. If you ever want to get my mother upset, say something bad about the Queen. I said, Ma, you've never lived under the Queen. You've lived in Argentina, and yet now in the States, she says, but she's still my Queen. Okay. But the ability to stand before the Queen is an honor that very few people have. and very few people can have this ability. And it's a wonderful experience to see what God can do when you enter into His presence. And you have this ability to be in the presence of the King, an audience. This petition addresses the audience of the King, that you can enter into His presence. And then prayer also has thanksgiving. That's another condition of prayer, which means that not only do we come to ask God for things, but we also come to the presence of God and we thank God for things. And we ought to include that in our lives and in our hearts. Thank you, Lord, for the things you have already done in my life and in our hearts. So we have the thanksgiving, the petitions, the prayers, and of course, the requests. So on next Sunday, when we come to church, we'll have all of them. All the four of them will be there. And we will be having a time of prayer specifically at 10:30 in the morning, and our church council will be here. And Brother Rosales will be leading in prayer in Spanish, and Brother Mike will be English, right? Yeah, we'll do it in English. And then we'll have Ralph doing it in whatever language he chooses. I still don't know what he speaks. But we're all going to come together, and we're going to pray for God to help us and push forward, that there will be answers to the needs in our hearts, that He would give us the strength that only He alone can give, that we will have forgiveness in our hearts, and that we will have that certainty to go on. Peculiar list, isn't it? He says, above all things, I want you to pray for those in authority. It's amazing that he would say that. It's extraordinary, because when Paul is writing to Timothy, he says, I want you to pray for those who are really persecuting you. Nero was a horrible man. He was a monster of cruelty. And yet, that's exactly what Paul is telling the Christian church. You need to pray for those who are bitterly persecuting you. And the Christian church considered it an absolute duty to pray for the emperor and all the subordinate kings and those in authority and governors. Peter writes and says, fear God, honor the emperor. Think of it. So you and I must remember that that emperor, as awful as he was, still deserved and required the prayers of God's people. We have a responsibility to pray for our president, to pray for our Senate, to pray for the House of Representatives, to pray for the Supreme Court, to pray. We have a responsibility to pray for those who are in positions of authority. The early church, even Tertullian, said something like, we need to pray this way. This is what he said. You need to pray for those in authority to have long life. And let's start right there. Some people, I've heard people say, I hope he goes to see Jesus soon. That's not praying for long life. But it says, for long life, for secure dominion, this is Tertullian in the second century, a safe home, a faithful senate, a righteous people, and a world of peace. Think of it. Look at that list. Look at the heart of the church. Look at the heart of God's people. See, it's a duty for the church, for the Christian church, all through history, an obligation to pray for those set in authority, for everyone who had anything to do in government. I mean, even those who were being persecuted prayed for the persecutors. They prayed for God to work in their lives. It's unbelievable, the heart of the Christian. How differently it's portrayed today, that they think that Christianity is an evil. Society today despises Christianity, society at large, I would say. And in some places, it's much more voiceful, and you can hear them louder, that they put the Christian faith down, and they give us and say things about us that are not true. But we are to pray for them. That's the heart of the Christian, to pray for them, to consider them, to pray for them. So prayer for those in authority is going to do something very important. It's going to change their lives. Ah, so you thought prayer was just words. No, prayer causes God to be in action. And it gives you the opportunity to see change in their lives. We pray for God to change them. We pray for God to bless them. So that then, as God blesses them, we also will be blessed. There's nothing better than to have those so-called enemies of us to give their hearts to Jesus, because they become the best friends of us. And do you think they will ever become your best friend unless you pray for them? The only thing we can do, and it's a very important thing, is to pray for those in authority so that we may have conditions that favor society. That God will make a change. A commitment to pray for those in authority means a commitment for society, that things will become better. When in the book of Proverbs, it speaks that when the rulers are behave like bears, the people suffer. And there can be some difficult governors and difficult presidents and difficult people in authority that can make the people, just common folks, suffer greatly. We are to pray that that will not happen. Pray for those in authority. And in the book of Proverbs, it says that when that happens, when we have people who are demonstrative evil in their undertaking, when they steal and they rob and they murder and they commit acts of treason, the people suffer. And so we want righteous leaders that will be blessing our country, men and women who will inspire others to live rightly. So if we happen to have someone who's not good, then our responsibility is to pray for them, that God will do a work in their lives. Paul writes to Titus in this way, Titus chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. It says, remind them to be subject to rulers. This is Paul speaking and writing to Titus, to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good deed, to malign no one, to be uncontentious, gentle, showing every consideration for all men. For we also once were foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice in every hateful way, and hating one another. Paul says, look, you need to pray for them because you were like that before. What happened? All of a sudden we become saved and we're better than everybody else. We might be better in the sense that we're with the Lord, but we have a responsibility for those who have not yet seen what you and I get to see through the eyes of Christ. So again, Paul says you need to do this. You need to pray for those in authority. Paul calls people to pray so that the rest of the world can live in tranquility, and that we can be submissive to the will of God through those who are in authority. Well, this is what we pray for then as we come together. Paul says, pray for certain things. Here it is. Pray for a life that is tranquil and undisturbed. Basically, this is what he says, that we may live a peaceful and quiet life. A peaceful and quiet life. I like that. I like to have my life peaceful. I don't need the drama. How many have drama in your lives? I don't need that much drama. I want to live a peaceful. I turn on the television and it's drama, drama, drama. I don't see television anymore. Again, I only see Law and Order. Because I know how it starts and I know how it finishes. In 1 hour, they resolve the biggest, most difficult crime. Sometimes it's two episodes. When it's three, it's a stretch. I want to have a life that is tranquil and undisturbed. This is what I want. So I am to pray for God to work in those leaders in such a way that we may have the result of a life that is tranquil and undisturbed. It was this prayer from freedom from war Lord, we don't want war. It was, Lord, I don't want rebellion in the land, Lord. I don't want anything that can disturb the peace, Lord. I pray for all the citizens of this country to be good citizens, to uphold the law, to live right. I pray for the violence to cease in the streets. I know about some of the violence in the streets. We get bulletins from the university when there's something going on in the area. And a week doesn't go by that something has happened in the area of Azusa where there is a police shootout or where there is some violence. And it's awful. If you want to go and walk downtown LA, be protected. I mean, this needs to stop. The only way we can stop is with people who are in authority to rule accordingly. But, you know, I could go on a rabbit trail here, which would become a highway. Not a little trail, it's a highway. But I'm telling you, we as citizens of this country have an awesome responsibility before God that you and I vote according to our conscience. And our conscience should reflect God's word and not the world. We need to put people in positions of authority that have this desire for all of us to live peacefully. When we get close to elections, I'll tell you who to vote for. Okay. You know, I've never done that. I have said you need to vote your conscience. And I have drawn a line, and all of you know this, I might as well say it. Anybody who is for abortion, I cannot vote because that betrays my principle of God's word. The rest of it, But that one is one I can't cross, not with my heart. But that will be something else that we need to talk about. So we need to pray for a life that is tranquil and undisturbed. And also something much more important, not only that we would have a good citizenship, that our citizens would live peacefully and that there will be peace in the streets and that there would not be this war burning down buildings and tearing down statues and screaming and yelling and robbing and all the violence, that all of that would cease. But also, Paul says, the church prays that we would have a life lived in godliness and in reverence. And those words, godliness and reverence, are very difficult words to translate from the Greek to the English or to any other language. Describes qualities that not only are to touch rulers, but also Christians. Let's take the first one, godliness. You can't translate the word godliness. It simply describes the reverence towards God and other people. Reverence towards God and other people. In other words, respecting other people and respecting God. What a life that would be if everyone would respect God and other people. So technically, again, we need to pray for kings and for those in authority that we may all live peaceful and quiet lives. I already said it. And godliness. And godliness, it three things, is reverence due to God. Secondly, the rights due to others. And thirdly, respect due to self. What an agenda. This is what the church did in the early days. It was going crazy. People being slaughtered and killed, crucified upside down, burned at the stakes, thrown into the lions' dens and killing and a horrific persecution. And the church would pray this way. If I would be there, I'd probably say, Lord, burn them, kill them, you know. Get them before I, you know. But that's not the attitude of the Christian church, not the attitude of the heart of the church. It elevates human beings. It doesn't brutalize them, it elevates them. And the elevation is you must live a quiet and peaceful life. And then godliness, which is reverence to God. And reverence to others. And also respect to yourself. A life of godliness is not a life of racism. The church is not racist. People may be, but not the church. So it describes the character of those who never want to fail God. And they don't want to fail themselves, and they don't want to fail people. Godliness. What a prayer. So you don't think you have objects of prayer? Just turn on TV. That's what we have to pray for. So instead of criticizing or putting people down, and which is so common, just pray. Then the second word is reverence, which is there. It says, this is good. I mean, quiet lives and godliness and holiness, which is another word for reverence. Maybe repeating the term, but that's perfectly fine. All I can tell you is that God wants you to live that life that is right before Him and before others. Never forgetting the holiness of God, who God is, and the dignity of others. So I approach God as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and I approach you as my brother and my sister with respect. And I really think that as we get ourselves prepared for prayer next Sunday, that we keep this in focus, that this is not a light matter. This is a heavy duty matter, that you and I would pray and seek God under the auspices of Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 2, where we pray for there to be peace in the land. And we pray to honor God. And we pray to respect others. And we pray to respect ourselves. Think of it. Think of the impact of this. That you and I would come to Christ and pray in such a way that there will be a transformation in society. Back some time ago, there were some awful things going on in our government. And it was a time, the mid-80s, early 90s, things were going really rough. And things were changing abruptly. For the first time, the press was able to confer to the citizens of this country issues that were going on inside of the White House and also in the Senate. And it was a tough time for all of us. And I remember that our churches came together to pray. And as we prayed, we saw the tide changing. And I remember as the brother who was leading that charge at that time was Brother Jack Kayford. He said, I believe that God has set the tide. We pushed the tide back a few years. And it's true. We set it back. And instead of a horrific experience that could have come upon us for the disobedience that was existing in the life of civil authorities, we were able to push back that blackness. And the Lord gave us more time of peace. We're at that place right now today. We need to pray for those in leadership that God would grant them the wisdom to rule accordingly. And you and I need to do this next Sunday, every day, but this next Sunday, to pray, first of all, for kings, those who are in authority, those who are in positions of power, those who are the governor of this state, the Senate, the White House, all the authorities, figures, we must pray for them. The police, you know, the scripture speaks that police officers are the agents of God. Did you know that? A police officer is an agent of God. God put him there. And look what is going on in our country. It's a defiance, not against civil authority, but against God's authority, because he set that in this world. A lot of stuff going on. So next Sunday, we will pray. And the basis for prayer is found in verses 5 through 7. Let me read them to you. It says this way, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ. We pray because Jesus is the mediator between God and man. No other way. It says, who gave himself as a ransom for all men, the testimony given in its proper time. And verse 7, and for this purpose I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I'm telling the truth, I am not lying, and a teacher of the true faith of the Gentiles. Paul is saying, hey, the reason we pray is because Jesus died for every one of those scoundrels.
for every one of those who disobeys and blasphemes the name of God. You have to pray. And we pray on the basis that Jesus is the mediator between God and man. He is the one who died for those sins, so there's hope for them. So we pray with great hope and anticipation of a transformation, not just words that are spoken in the air, but words that are directed to the King. And we come to him with requests, with prayers, with intercession, and with thanksgiving. God is moving and active, but he does it through you and through me. I conclude by saying the following. When the Lord created this world, he told Adam and Eve, you till the ground. You're now in charge. You're in charge. And we are in charge today. When man sinned, the charge kept on in, upon our shoulders because we needed to tilt the ground and work the ground. So God speaks to you and speaks to me and says, I'm here to help. I'm here to bless. But you and I need to say, Lord, this is what I need you to help me to do. Because if you don't ask God to help, God won't do it. Wesley said, God does nothing but in answer to prayer. So it's our duty to pray. And we need to ask the Lord, Lord, how should I pray? Show me how I should pray. And then we pray. And this portion of scripture tells us exactly that we should first of all pray for those who are in authority, those who are in positions of authority, so that we may live peaceful lives. I think it's time the church prays for pray for a peaceful citizenship. It's pray for us, for a country that will be stabilized. Because only prayer can change the hearts of men and women. Because prayer is made in the name of Jesus, who died for their sins as well as ours. So, Lord, we prepare our hearts for next Sunday. And yet, Lord, you can find our hearts today to be able and willing to seek you, that we may launch a crusade in our hearts to pray for those who are in authority and to overturn the tide that has come upon our country, Lord. Lord, it's never too late to pray. You're never late in answering prayers. So we do, Lord, even begin this Sunday to pray for those in authority. We pray for every member of the White House, that you would descend upon them with conviction and that you would bring salvation to their hearts and lives. We pray that they will make the right decisions, Lord. Father, I pray that you would touch the Congress of the United States, for the Senate and for the House of Representatives. We pray for their leaders. We pray again for you to visit their hearts and lives and let there be a change, Lord, in Jesus' name. We pray, Lord, for the Supreme Court. We pray that you would give them the wisdom that is needed. Lord, then we pray for every governor in every state, and we pray for every legislative body in every state that you would touch and that you would bring knowledge of the gospel. But Lord, very specifically, we pray for our governor today and for the House of Representatives and for the Senate of the state of California. We pray, Lord, for the mayor of the city. We pray that you would grant them the wisdom that is needed, Lord. You died on the cross for them. We give you praise and glory for the work that you're doing in Jesus' name. Amen, Lord, and amen, and amen.
Created me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit within me. Created me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit within me. Away from thy presence, O Lord, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, so Lord, thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me.
It takes the right spirit, doesn't it? It takes the right spirit to pray for those whom we feel offended and hurt by. Imagine if they were to have taken your daughter or your son or your grandson or your wife or whoever, and they would kill them and slaughter them because they were Christians, and we're to pray for them. It takes a different heart. So we need to ask the Lord to give us sensitivity to what He's really asking us to do. This is a leap of faith and a giant move in your heart for you to have a heart that can actually pray with sincerity. So I don't know who the murderer is in your life, you know, who has been hurting you so much, but pray. Lord, forgive him or forgive her, or bring them to this place of repentance that you may have your way in their lives. It's not easy, but that's what God is calling us. And if God is calling us to do that, it means we must be able to do it only through Him. And I hear an amen of sorts. All right, this is the day that is so warm and so difficult to live with, but this is the day that the Lord has made. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Greet one another in the love of the Lord.
We're so glad you were able to join us today. If you would like to see the service with the worship time included, please visit our Facebook page. If you would like more information about our church, you can check out our website at www.bbfoursquare.org. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless. See you next week.